And what we're going to be talking about is mainly, if you get nothing else out of the weekend, what I want you to hear is just these three simple words: love never fails. We have a lot of things that let us down. As many of you know, a lot of this last week, as well as the last 2 months, we just can't shake sickness out of our house. And our kids have been sick for the last 2 months, it seems like. And it seems like it's just a constant process. And no matter how much we love them, no matter how much we try to get them better, no matter how many times we take them to the doctor, it just seems like there's always something new that they might be experiencing at the age they're at. But for some people, it's something else. You watch someone struggle, and not just with sickness, but in their lives. And you lose touch with that person, and it feels like that love has drifted, and you feel like you've lost that love with that person, and that relationship that you once had with that person is no longer. The good thing is, and the promise that we have, is whether it's sickness, whether it be death itself, whether it be suffering, no matter what it might be, we have the promise that God's love never fails. This is what Napoleon said about Jesus. If you ever wonder why Jesus stands out among anybody else, is even guys like Napoleon had to give Jesus the respect that he deserved. And this is what he said about our Lord. He said that Jesus is absolutely unique. He said, "I know men, and I tell you that Jesus Christ is no mere man. Between him and every other person in the world, there is no possible term of comparison. Alexander, Caesar, Charlemagne, and I have founded empires. But on what did we rest the creation of our geniuses? Upon force. The difference between all of us and Jesus Christ is that Jesus founded his empire upon love. And at this hour, millions of men would die for him, and still would to this very day." Napoleon understood what many of us need to understand, and that is that everything that we know about Jesus can all be summarized in the simple word of love. We'll find this weekend that in Christ we have a love that never fails. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails." Do you notice how Paul starts off that first part? What he basically says to the people is, he said, "You know what? I could preach the best sermons ever." He said, "I could do all this for the poor. I could help out every widow. I could go through the motions of all this. But if it's not done out of love for God, it's nothing. If it's not done for love for mankind, instead of going through the motions of everything, it's nothing." He watched the Pharisees. Paul was one of the Pharisees at one point, remember? He'd gone through the other part of it. He'd gone through all the motions of everything. He knew what the rules and regulations were all about, but he realized that was not where love was found. And I wonder sometimes, guys, as Christians, it's so easy for us to fall into this trap too, that we go through the motions of everything, but we forget about the most important part. It's love that never fails. Are we truly willing to have the kind of love that God has for us towards others? Not once, not twice, but in every situation that we come in contact with. Are we willing to love with a love that never fails? Joan of Arc said this. She said, when she was abandoned by all those who should have stood by her, It's better to be alone with God, she said. His friendship will not fail me, nor his counsel, nor his love, and his strength I will dare until I die. Boy, she understood what it's all about to know God. She knew that if everybody else left her, if she lost the love of everyone else around her, if she'd done things wrong that made them all upset and angry, and they'd fallen away from her as she was taking the stand she stood, she knew that if nothing else, she had God. And she said, you know what? I'd rather lose everybody else and still have him. Because she knew that God's love would not fail. She knew that God's love was not temporary like a lot of times our human love is for each other. Are we looking for a love that never fails? Isn't that what many people today are looking for? Isn't that what we're looking for? One of the things that just boggles my mind, all you have to do is turn on TV, and almost every commercial is for a dating site. I don't know if you've noticed that, whether you're watching ball games or whatever you're watching, movies or whatever it might be. Now they have farmersdating.com. Now they have, like, everything you can possibly imagine. If you're a teacher, they have a teachersdating.com. That's just what we've gotten to be. But what does that show us? If this is one of the most popular ads that is on TV on every show we watch, it tells us that people are still looking for something. And as we've gone into the world that has fallen away from God, that is losing sight of his love, you can see why people are more and more desperate to look for this physical kind of love, because they've lost the love that never fails. There are so many times throughout the Bible where God's love is called unfailing, and there's a reason for that. God's love is a constant love, and it never fails. God's love is a love that is constant and it never fails. Psalm 33, verse 18. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait and hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. So I've always loved the Psalms, because it's such an expression of worship. We wait for the hope in the Lord. He is our help. He is our shield. He is our fortress. Because we can trust in his holy name, that no matter what happens, we have his love. And for that we rejoice. What do you think keeps those people that are overseas right now preaching the gospel as we speak, that are in prison for simply saying the name of Christ, what do you think keeps them going? It's the love of Christ. Because they have his love, they can endure. Because they know he'll never turn their back on him, they know that he will never turn his back on them at all, and they know that this love is unending and unfailing and constant. Psalm 32. Psalm 32, verse 6. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me from songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, who must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not have come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. No matter what happens, no matter what takes place, we have the love of God. What a promise this is. But there's something there that tells us here in the book of Psalms that I think is kind of interesting. What's it say? Those who put their trust and hope in the Lord is surrounded by his love. And I wonder sometimes, we blame God. We say, okay, God, I can't feel your presence here. I don't know you're here. I want to know you, and I want you to be here with me, but we can't always feel it. But it seems to me in Psalm 32, it's actually saying that the unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. So sometimes what happens is, for us to really, truly feel the full ramifications of his love, it seems to me that what has to happen is we have to trust him. Because when we walk away from him, it's just like with our parents, just like with family and friends. If we walk away from that love, even though they're desperate to show it, even though they do everything they can to show you that, yes, indeed, they love you, if you walk away from that love or step away from that love, you can't feel that love. So the call is, in Psalm 32, is even if when you can't see he's there, even when you don't think he understands, even when you don't think he cares about you, but when you trust in God and you say to God, I know your love is unfailing, even though I can't really feel that right now, that's where it seems to me this love comes in even more than it already was. And when we start to really feel that love that really, truly never fails us. You may have been hurt by family members, friends, co-workers, maybe even fellow Christians. The promise we have is that his love will not fail and it will not end. Even our sin cannot separate us from the love of God. Psalm 51. Psalm 51. We find a man who had nowhere else to turn except for the love of God. He begged and pleaded for God's love to be unfailing. In fact, reminded God that his love was unfailing, just in case God might relent, so he might be able to turn back to him. Psalm 51, verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. You are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me, yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. The bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. David was caught in sin. He committed adultery. You ever thought about all this that he did? It's amazing what David did, and God still forgave him. God still loved him. He committed adultery. He had someone murdered. He tried to cover up that murder, even though he'd walked with God all of his life. So in other words, David knew what he was doing was wrong. David knew the mistakes he was making. He knew these things he shouldn't be doing. He knew he shouldn't have had an affair with Bathsheba in the first place. He knew he shouldn't have tried to cover it up by murdering her husband, but he did it. And you can see from the pleading in Psalm 51, you start to hear his heart that says, I don't know. God, your great mercy is incredible, but I don't know. Can you have mercy on me? Look what I've done. Look where I've been. Look how far I've fallen away from you. David understood the judgment side of God. And he understood the unfailing nature of God's love. David pleaded and begged with God to have mercy because of what? David asked for mercy because he knew God's unfailing love. Would you come to God if you knew God was all judgment? If God was all about judgment, if he was all about making sure that he sent people to hell, was David going to come to him and say, you know what, Lord? I've messed up. If he wasn't a God of love, David was able to come to God simply because he knew God's unfailing love was truly unfailing. This meant it wasn't contingent on David. This meant no matter how many mistakes David made, God still loved him. God was still there for him. It was a matter of whether he would trust him after he'd sinned. What a promise this is that God's love remains unchanged even when we fall away in sin. I think sometimes what happens is we think, okay, we sin, and then that stops God loving us. That's not the case. I think we think that a lot of times we think, okay, yes, we do have to repent and come back to God. Absolutely we do. But what we don't realize is even in that time when we need to repent, even in that time we've fallen away from God and we're lost in our sin and we've fallen completely away from Him, God still loves us just as much as He always had. The reason we have to repent is not to change God's love, because God's love can't change. Why we need to repent is so that we can have that fellowship with Him once more. It's just like a broken relationship in this world, guys. If you have bitterness with someone else, and you have a bad relationship with someone else, and you aren't talking to these people, and every time you see them, it's awkward, you don't know how to talk to them because you've got this issue that you just can't seem to let go. Sometimes it's going to take saying to that person, I don't know what I did, but I did something wrong, and this relationship is broken, to be able to make that right once more. This is basically what repentance is all about, is saying to God, yes, you love me, and because you love me, I can come to you and repent of my sins and turn back away from my sins and turn to you. And I know the promise of Scripture that says your love is unfailing. David could not have gone to God if he didn't already understood this promise. The problem is anymore that, guys, we see so much fake love. We see so much earthly love out there that sometimes what happens is we start to equate earthly love with godly love. We start to think that earthly love is how God loves us, and it's just not the case. God doesn't love us short term. He loves us forever. It's just a matter of whether we will accept that unfailing love. God's love never fails. It is oftentimes a matter of us failing God. When we lose everything else in our lives, we must always remember the love of God is unfailing. Isaiah 54, verse 10. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. What a promise this gives us. No matter how many things we go through or suffer, and we will suffer in this life, God's love remains. Maybe you've experienced this in your own life. When you've lost a loved one, we've just experienced this in the last year. When you lose someone, it feels like the world's collapsing around you. But I tell you, in the heart of all of it is God's love. It does remain. In Isaiah 54, where it says, the mountains be shaken and the hills removed, that means everything else may be gone. Everything else that you've ever put your trust and hope in, it's not there. But in the midst of all of that, the love of God remains. The love of God never fails. What a promise that God gives us, that His love never fails. In fact, the Scriptures promises us that God comes even closer to the brokenhearted. Psalm 34, verse 15. Sometimes we think when we're going through some things that we think God's even farther off, but it's not the case. The Scripture tells us and promises us that God comes even closer to those who are brokenhearted. Psalm 34, verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and the ears are attentive to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. So many times we might feel like that God has abandoned us during times of great pain. God always keeps His word. If He says He will come close, then He will come close. Many of you might understand the words in Psalm 13. Psalm 13, verse 1. How long, Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Even in the midst of the worst that life has to offer us, we have the promise of God's unfailing love. Do you notice what he says here? I love how this is put. In Psalm 13, the writer is at the beginning, he's saying to God, he says, Now, Lord, I understand your promises. I understand what you've told me, but I can't see them. I can't see what you're doing. I can't see your love for me. But he says, I will trust your unfailing love no matter what takes place. What an example of faith that David gives us here. He says, I'm being chased by enemies. He said, my life is falling apart. He says, I can't see you. He said, but I will trust in your unfailing love. The love of God never fails us because of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 31. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long, for we are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, the present nor the future, nor any powers, height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The love of God never fails. Jesus is enough for each one of us. It's only when we reject him that we do not receive this love. Think of it this way. If a parent has a child run away from home, the parent thinks all the time about the child coming home, even if the child may not be giving them a second thought. God's love is not contingent on us. His love has been given to us through Christ, and because of that, it never fails. There may be some of you tonight that have been frustrated with God. You've said, Lord, I know your word promises that your love never fails. I know your word promises us that you are faithful and true. But sometimes, God, it is just hard to see you work. Sometimes it is just hard to see what you're doing. Where is the plan that you said will happen, God? My prayer for each one of us tonight is that we may not necessarily see how clear the plan might be, but that we know that no matter what happens, no matter what takes place, we have the love of God, and that's enough. All you have to do is turn on Fox News, you turn on CNN, you turn on one of the web pages, like Drudge Report or one of those news pages online. Man, it's pretty easy to get discouraged. It looks like the world's falling apart at the seams if you look at all these things that are happening around us. But we have a love that goes even beyond all of that. What it tell us in the book of Isaiah? It said, though the mountains be shaken, your love remains. And because of that, we rejoice. His love never fails. Even if we walk away from him, even if we fall away from him, God is still constantly pursuing us, as we're going to talk about in the morning, and doing everything he can to make sure he brings us home. But we have a love that never fails. Many of us have never been shown this kind of love before in our lives. And because of that, it's hard to understand the love God has for us. But God knew the best way to show us this love. It was on a wooden cross. That he said, I'm not going to just say I love you. I'm not just going to tell everyone that I love them. I'm going to show them in a way that seems so crazy that they can't help but deny that I love them, that I'm going to allow my own son to die and take their pain, take their suffering, take their sin so that they might be saved. No matter what happens in this life, the love of God that's been shown to us in Christ Jesus remains. And for that we rejoice. Please join us in an invitation song tonight. We have the promise of Scripture that no matter how unfaithful we are, God is faithful. Please stand.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings, O mine, with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Let's pray. God, we thank you so much. You have a love that never fails. That God, you show us this love every day, and that no matter how many times we might fall away, no matter how many times we are not faithful, we know that you remain faithful. And we thank you so much for that. We thank you that you have a love that's not like the world's love for us, that it's contingent on what we do and who we are, but that you love us despite ourselves. And we thank you so much for that great love and mercy. We thank you, your love will never fail us, no matter what circumstances we might face. Whether everything else might fall apart in this world, Lord, we thank you so much that we have a love that goes not only beyond this life, but also for an eternity through the love you showed us in Christ. We thank you so much that Jesus is enough. It's in his precious name we pray. Amen. Just a few brief announcements as we do close this evening. Remember to set your clocks tonight. We need to leap our clocks ahead an hour. So we'd love to see you in the morning, and if you don't switch your clocks, we may not get to see you. So please do switch your clocks forward so we remember that for in the morning. And the CDs of this message tonight will be available hopefully in the morning. So if you'd like a CD of tonight's message, you can get that in court, and as well as let others know tomorrow that if they miss tonight, we'd love to have them be able to hear it as well. So do join us in the morning. Please join us for our closing song tonight. Thank you all for coming out.
I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me.